Welcome to the Modern MBA podcast with Marie Kerwin and Kristen Rossi. Our mission is to help MBAs coming from, going into, or merely considering more unorthodox career paths. We're a community to find inspiration and share stories.
Today we're speaking with Paul Fitzgerald, who after a career as an engineer in Formula One, did an MBA at Warwick Business School and made the switch to strategy consulting with PwC in Ireland. So Paul, if you would please introduce yourself, your name, your current role, and where you did your MBA.
Yeah, my name's Paul Fitzgerald. I did my MBA at Warwick Business School, and I am a senior strategy consultant at the moment with PwC.
Brilliant. And so your career has mainly been in automotive engineering, working with Mercedes in Formula One before the MBA, and now you're with PwC Ireland, as you've said, senior strategy consultant. Can you walk us through your career to date?
Yeah. So I went to DCU, which is a university in Dublin, and I did mechanical manufacturing engineering there, and I graduated in 2010. And from there, I actually went straight into the graduate program with Mercedes Formula One. It was there coming towards the end of their first season there. So I went in on their first ever graduate program, which was an interesting experience. And I worked across a few different departments. Over the years that I was there, I moved from manufacturing into research development. I worked with the race team in race engineering. Then I was with the engine design team for the new V6 engine that's currently used. And I finally ended up in aerodynamics for the majority of my career. So I was a aerodynamics design engineer, and I finished up there in 2018 and went to Warwick Business School to do my MBA.
Perfect. That kind of leads perfectly into the next question. So why did you decide to do an MBA in the first place?
It's a good question that I struggle to answer a lot of the time, because it was a number of different things that sort of accumulated into the decision. So one of the big things is I wanted to move back to Ireland. Mm-hmm. Myself and my wife had lived in the UK for quite a number of years, and both of us sort of thought it was a time to move back home. And as some people might know, Formula One isn't in Ireland at all. There's no teams there. And I couldn't really see myself working in engineering outside of Formula One. And on top of that as well, I'd fallen out of love of my job. I really enjoyed what I did, but it got to a point where I was getting out of bed in the morning and thinking it wasn't quite for me anymore. I didn't have that sort of pep in my step going into work that I used to have. So I thought it was a good time to sort of change career. And I'd found over the last few years that I'd had a bit more of an interest in the business side of things, which I'd never had before. I'd always wanted to be an engineer and work in Formula One. And I found myself reading a few business books and stuff, and just having a bit more interest than I'd previously had. And I thought maybe this is actually a career I might think about following. And the MBA was probably the perfect way to sort of help transition between engineering and the business world. And went with WBS because they had a bit of a connection to Dublin as well. They're very good business school in the UK, but they had that connection to a lot of companies in Dublin. So that's the reason why I chose them.
Brilliant. And so then, coming from automotive, what was the MBA experience like? What challenges did you face, and what skills did you gain?
Yeah, it was, I think the big thing for me before going in, I was really nervous that I was completely, I had no business knowledge whatsoever, and I thought I was going to be quite poor performing on the MBA, that it was sort of a year of keeping my head above water more than thriving on the MBA. And I suppose I was kind of pleasantly surprised during the year that I had quite a few skills from automotive that I could transfer into the MBA. I suppose a big challenge for me was getting back into the mindset to study again. It was a bit of a shock to the system of when you finish your day, your day isn't actually finished. You're either going to the library or going home to study, which is something that I'd sort of forgotten about from my days of being a student. So that was a bit of a challenge, all right. And I think another big challenge for me was not working with, purely working with engineers. I think engineers, definitely in Formula One for the most part, we all had a very similar mindset and a sort of thought process around a lot of working. So going into an MBA and having such a diverse background and people with a lot of different industry experience, it was a big challenge trying to sort of get across an idea or discuss projects and things like that. But overall, I found it easier than expected. I think that the big thing for me was having a positive mindset and being able to work in teams quite well, which is two things I think I brought along with me into the MBA. And then it's problem solving and sort of, I always hate being the person that doesn't know as much as everyone else knows in the room. So it's always that challenge of, oh, this person over here is an expert in say consulting, for example. I want to find out about their job and what they've done and sort of to improve myself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the challenge is getting back into study mindset, no business background. I think going into a lot of subjects, some people might have had a bit of a background in business or at least done business studies or a business degree. I'd done none of that before. I was all science background before going on an MBA. So that was a bit of a challenge, sort of trying to get to understand a lot of the basics at the start. But I think once I started understanding the basics, it was a bit easier going, and it wasn't as big a challenge.
How did you use your past experience and also the experience that you gained on the MBA to help you make that crossover into consulting?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a mixture of both the MBA and my engineering background that have sort of helped me get into consulting. And then in terms of the crossover, so one of the biggest challenges for me, as I said before, doing the MBA was I had no business background. So doing the MBA helped me hugely going into consulting, to a point I don't believe I could have got a job in PwC strategy without the MBA. And sort of go into a bit more detail for that reason. In the interview with PwC, there was, like a lot of consulting interviews, you have case studies. And for me, I used a tiny bit of engineering thought process and sort of problem solving. But the big thing for me was going back to a lot of case studies we had discussed on the MBA and sort of trying to make comparisons and getting discussions going around that. So the MBA helped massively from that point of view, for the crossover. And going into sort of the engineering stuff. So in my previous role, a lot of the stuff I would have done as a design engineer was discussing problems or issues with aerodynamicists and designing car parts, as well on top of that, and then improving on them constantly. But things never go right in any job, so there's a lot of problem solving. And in Formula One, it's very much, if a problem occurs, a lot of the time it can either be you have seconds to make a decision to solve that problem, or you might have a few hours depending on the severity of it. So with consulting, obviously you go into companies and they have problems that they need solved. So I think having that mindset from engineering of, okay, what's the issue, and going through the sort of the thought process of how to get around this problem, because a lot of the time in engineering, when you have a problem, it's something you've never seen before. which I think is very comparable in consulting, that me going into a company that it's an industry I may have never worked in, or a company I may not have a huge amount of knowledge on, I'm able to get up to speed quite quickly because I'm used to that, trying to sort of get to the problem as quickly as possible and sort of go through the thought process for it. Then on top of that, I think with strategy consulting in particular, there's a lot of big data in industry now that's used to solve problems or to help make decisions. And that's something I would have dealt with nonstop as an engineer. It's always number crunching, sort of backing up decisions with numbers as well. And from there, it's, I think the next bit from the sort of big numbers is bringing it down to a very simple sort of solution or a simple story. So where I might have dealt with an aerodynamist of getting more downforce, less drag, and looking at all the figures that would come through in the wind tunnel, you could have huge lines of code and millions of different numbers sort of flown at you. It's trying to get that into a simple answer of that this is what we do. And I find that's very comparable in business strategy consulting in general. Of you'll have companies that will have huge amount of information. Maybe it's on consumers, maybe it's on their own company itself, on employees. It can range from everything around, and it's trying to take those figures and get it into a simple, this is what it all means, and maybe showing them something that they haven't seen before in those numbers, and doing a few things with the data that they have, and sort of showing them a narrative that they may have not thought of before in the first place. And I think that's sort of where you have a lot of crossover between engineering and consulting, where in consulting you have that narrative, that story that you're going through with clients. It's all backed up by big numbers, and that's where the engineering mindset comes in. So some people would be very good at the narrative side of things. I'm definitely improving on it. It wasn't my strongest point, but having the skills in the complex data helped me massively. And I think as well, the sort of going back to the fast paced environment in engineering, in Formula One in particular, being used to that high pressure has helped in consulting. For me, that there's been no real moments yet where I've gone, oh my God, this is too much for me. I can't handle this kind of pressure or the work that's been thrown at me. And I think that's been aided quite a bit from my previous role, because it was very fast paced and trying to make decisions quickly. And you just sort of, I think you get into that mindset where you can, you sort of know not to panic as much in the high pressure situations, because it gets you nowhere. And it's something I've been used to, I suppose. And then I suppose lastly is really I've always had an interest in learning new things, which I sort of mentioned earlier. In engineering, there's always that curiosity of why is something doing something, if you know what I mean. Like I would have looked at other Formula One cars and other teams and tried to figure out why one team is designing a part in a certain way, and trying to learn from that. And then that curiosity sort of has spilled over in the years of I started getting interested in business, and now it's in consulting. It's like it's the really enjoyable task of going into a company that maybe you don't have full knowledge of, or an industry the same, and just trying to learn and get up to speed quickly of what they're doing, why they're doing it. And I do get quite a buzz from sort of trying to get up to speed and understand their problem. And that for me is probably one of the bigger crossovers from my role overall.
As we talked about the biggest challenges that you faced on the MBA. I'm just curious, like, what's been the hardest part of transitioning or starting in consulting?
Yeah, I suppose the hardest thing of starting in consulting, from if I go from an engineering mindset, is it's a lot of the presentation stuff and sort of that narrative side of things, where I really wouldn't have been used to that before. I was used to presenting on my old job, but not in terms of how a consultant might go about it, of really going through the complex figures and sort of giving that story behind it and showing the future of where it can go. In engineering before, it might have been very much, here's all the complex numbers, here's the solutions, and I've done it. While now in consulting, it's, here's some suggestions, what do you think, having that open discussion and sort of building on it. And that for me has been the biggest learning curve for me. I think I found the sort of the dealing with formulas and stuff very, very simple, but where people might find the presentation, the narrative very easy, I've probably found it a bit more challenging. Not to say that I've struggled massively with it, but it's definitely, me personally, I feel like it's one of the weaker areas of my side of work at the moment. And it's something that, to be fair, PwC have been brilliant on, and they sort of, you get so much feedback and you get a lot of tips off people working above me and my career coach and stuff. So that's probably it for me. That's the big challenge. And I suppose coming from the MBA, the biggest challenge for me, again, was probably, it's starting in yet another new environment. So you go from engineering, spend a year away from engineering doing an MBA, and then I'm straight into a completely new world again. And I suppose moving back to Ireland as well. Thankfully, I knew Ireland well enough that it wasn't a struggle, but it was all a bit of a whirlwind, really. And that was the challenge of sort of, okay, I've done the mindset, I've been a student for a year, I've got back into the student mindset of studying, and now I need to get back into the working mindset again. So that was probably a big enough challenge for me, but I'd say it was the more the broader sort of getting into that consulting mindset and understanding the industry was probably the biggest challenge. And then obviously getting to know people in the company and stuff, but that's very normal with changing a job.
You're talking about having to get up to snuff, apparently, you know, with new topics very quickly. Having been a consultant now for 10 months, do you have any tips or anything that you do that, like any sort of, I don't know, not shortcuts, but in order to, any resources you use in order to get up to speed on a company quickly?
Yeah, I suppose the quickest way I've learned is just speaking to every consultancy has, organization has experts in different fields, and it's just having conversations with people who've either worked with that company before or worked in that industry. People have been incredible at PwC and just helping me get up to speed and sort of understanding, giving almost a very quick crash course in the background. But again, it's doing things like just reading the news. So say if you're looking at a food industry, start reading up on what's happening in the food industry in the news. It's very simple things like that. And something I got in a habit of during the MBA was listening to the Financial Times podcast every morning, because they give a real brief overview of what's happening in the world. And although it's like 10, 15 minutes long, I feel it sort of helps me learn a few things. Like, it's not necessarily helping me with every project I'm on, but maybe in a few years' time, the little things that you learn each day, or the few little news clips that they give, you sort of have that almost built up as a bit of a memory of all the news topics that are happening. Because I think, I suppose with lockdown now, it's been a bit easier, but people commuting in and out of work, I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't look at my phone on the commute too much. I'd more just throw a podcast on and get on with my commute. So I find listening to things is sort of a better way of getting up to speed. And then maybe if I get into work a little bit earlier, I can read up on what's happening in the news. But I suppose it's industry experts at the company, podcasts, and just what's happening in the news. That's been key for me.
Did you prepare, because there's all this, I think, throughout the MBA chatter on case studies and preparing for consulting cases. Did you do a lot of case study practice before, like the real formal case study practice, or did you sort of just use all your skills and go in, I don't want to say cold, but with, you didn't do the Vincent Chang and all that stuff?
Yeah, I think WBS might murder me for this, but I didn't really do any of the case study practice, to be honest. It's something I felt I got quite up to speed with, just case studies in general of companies. The face-to-face sort of practice and trying the challenges themselves. I did a little bit during the MBA, but probably not as much as I should have. I felt the majority of my preparation for the interview was, I did look at one or two of those sort of case challenges. It was more just trying to figure out the how I would go about if they asked me to do a presentation, or if they asked me to do a numbers problem of how do I need to structure this in my head. It wasn't specific looking at a challenge in detail. It was more like, if there's a challenge about profitability, how am I going to approach this? What questions am I going to ask? Or if it's a presentation, how am I going to try and structure the presentation? It was more that sort of general overview, you know what I mean? I probably should have done a bit more practice. It turns out I got the job in the end, but I can't say it was the most fun experience of my life doing the consultancy interview. I don't think many people will ever say it was a really enjoyable experience. It's quite stressful, but I felt I prepared enough for the interview that I got. That's probably the best way of saying it.
So another question that's kind of a little bit different, I guess. Ireland seems like it's been enjoying a sort of bit of a boom over the last few years in terms of the employment market. We'd be curious to kind of know how that's obviously looking in terms of the COVID-19 situation. Anything you can kind of tell us about the job market there and how it compares to the UK, and anything that you might happen to know about companies kind of sponsoring non-EU citizens as well.
So Ireland was doing incredibly well before COVID struck. I felt that the job market was really good and business was booming. So I suppose in a positive way, pre-COVID, everything was very good. And I suppose the good thing about that is, once a vaccine hopefully is found, things hopefully will get back to where they were. It might take a little bit of time, but I feel like the industry, or the job industry in general, is very good outside of COVID. For me, I found that there was a lot of consultancies hiring, and the market was doing quite well. And just, I suppose, outside of consultancy as well, Ireland has a huge, I suppose, the one of the big industries is the technology industry in Dublin. You have a lot of the tech companies, and they're always hiring, always expanding. But at the moment, I think there's quite a big freeze. So LinkedIn have a big base in Dublin. So I know globally they've had a lot of redundancies. I'm not sure if any of them have struck Ireland. I think companies like Google are still doing very well. The likes of Facebook as well. Facebook are based in Dublin. So overall, I'd say that the market is good. In terms of sponsorship for non-EU nationals, it's not something I'm massively clued in on. I know every company's different, but I would assume a lot of companies, if the right candidate comes along, they would be happy to sponsor. I couldn't comment on PwC's policy because I honestly don't know. To speak of PwC specifically before COVID, my team in strategy were expanding still before COVID, and we were actively hiring. So now that COVID has hit, every company has sort of put a bit of a stop on that. But I would imagine once things get back to normal, hopefully we can see that market sort of start to boom again and the likes of PwC can start expanding. I find a lot of consultancies are actively looking for MBAs. So if someone comes to applying for a role, the exact same person, both with very similar backgrounds, but one has an MBA and another doesn't, I would feel a lot of companies are going to veer towards the person who's invested heavily in their career by doing an MBA. So that's a bit of a thought process I have sort of behind MBAs. So I think MBAs will always, well, I can't say always, but you would hope that because of that you have a bit more knowledge, you have that network, you're going to be looked on a bit more favourably than someone without it from a same background.
No, that's good to hear. And I think you're right. It's just everything's so kind of uncertain at the moment. I guess it's hard for companies really to move forward with much, you know, while we're still in this kind of situation. But hopefully, as things stabilise and, you know, maybe potentially hopefully a vaccine does emerge, then yeah, perhaps we'll see things starting to grow again. So final question, for MBAs who are coming from an engineering background and want to get into consulting after the MBA, what advice would you give to them?
So for me, I think some of the key things is if you have friends who are already in consulting, just talk to them. I think one of the big things you learn during an MBA, not the biggest thing, but one of the big things is learning about networking and just how to use your network properly. If you know people or have friends in consulting, talk to them about it. It depends on what area of consulting you want to get into. It's probably something you need to look at. If as an engineer, you're going into an MBA and saying, I want to be a consultant, which was kind of what I said, it's almost a bit of a ridiculous statement when you sort of look a bit deeper into what consulting is and what you do. I think if you have a think during the MBA of what you really enjoy as part of the MBA, for me it was strategy. I loved it from the get-go. And I think I realized within probably 4 or 5 weeks of starting the MBA, I wanted to work in business strategy. I found it the most interesting, and that's why I thought let's give strategy consulting a go. So I think that's a very big thing for me, is to try and understand what area consulting you want to look at. And then as well, speaking with people in your network and sort of getting to understand what they do, that might be a really good way of figuring out what kind of consulting you want to do and what consultancies you want to work with. I think that's quite a big part of it. And just put work into the MBA. The work you put into the MBA, you will get it back out in return. You can take it quite easy during the year and sort of get by, but I feel because I put a lot of effort into subjects, especially like strategy, I was able to speak a lot more about the subject in my interview. And then as well in my job as well, I understand things around consulting and strategy a lot easier now because of it. So I don't like to tell people work hard at the MBA. It's not really a fair thing to say, but whatever you put in to the MBA, you'll get back out. So just focus on what you feel you can benefit the most from during it. And I think that'll really help you. And a big thing for me, I feel, is starting to apply for roles early. I don't mean like day one from when you start the MBA. Although I know that some of our cohort got jobs before they even started the MBA, which is amazing. But don't leave it too late to start applying. From memory, I think I started applying maybe February, March time, maybe March, let's say March, for roles. And especially during summer, companies take annual leave. People take annual leave during summer, so the hiring process will be slower. So if you're hoping to get into a role by the time you finish August, September, you really should try to apply quite early, so March time. I sort of had a goal in my head to start working as soon as I finished, so I did start the application process quite early. And I would work with your careers team a lot in trying to understand how best to present your CV, and especially for someone who come from engineering, how best to present your skills, and what are the sort of crossover skills that you can bring to consulting. Because I think for me, I was struggling initially to go, oh my God, I'm an engineer who designs car parts. How in the name of God am I going to advise a company in strategy? But then you start sort of going down into the detail. It was, as I said earlier, it's all the data that I work with. It's that problem solving. You need to look into your skills below the engineer of what makes me an engineer, what I do in my day to day that maybe a consultant does in their day to day. And that's where talking with people who work in the industry, any friends or connections you have, you might start to learn that quite quickly. And you can really leverage it on applications and in interviews and on your cover letter. That for me is key things. And then on the CV and cover letter, don't have any spelling mistakes or grammar errors, because consultants absolutely hate it, because we're torn apart if we ever make mistakes like that. So we don't, it's something you really see as basics for applications for consultancy. And something actually else I forgot to mention is I'm nearly certain that every consultancy firm, the big four anyway, have referral schemes. So if you have a friend working at one of these companies, or someone you did your degree with, or someone you know well enough that you'd feel confident asking for it, ask for them to refer you, because a consultancy will always be happier to take in someone who is known by someone else in the department than sort of going out on a whim and sort of not really knowing the person at all. I was lucky enough to be able to get referred in to PwC, and I feel like that helped me massively, at least getting the foot in the door to the interview stage, and then it's up to you from then on.
I think there's some really good points there, especially the bit about applying early as well. I think you're right. If you're doing a September to September programme and you plan to be back at work in September, October, yeah, you really do need to kind of, you know, get started quite early on. You know, I find it really interesting that Paul said that he didn't do like a lot of case study practice for consulting, because so many MBAs who are looking to go into that industry, it's almost, you know, it becomes like almost the main point of the MBA itself. You know, there's so much, they spend so much time doing case practice and really focusing on acquiring those skills.
Yeah, that's why I thought to ask, because I feel like it often becomes sort of an obsession for some people. And I remember thinking, I don't think Paul was doing that during the MBA. He was working really hard, but because you often saw the people that were doing the case study practice. And I remember thinking, I don't remember seeing Paul doing that. So did he do it? And it's kind of refreshing to hear that it's not necessarily necessary as long as you use similar skills.
I think that's what makes the difference, isn't it? Because what I remember about Paul is that, particularly in our strategy classes, he was always, but actually all of them as well, he was always really engaged. He was always contributing to the discussion. And I think that is probably part of what enabled him to not have to spend so much time on the formal kind of case practice, because you're kind of using a lot of those skills anyway by participating in discussions in class.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And the other thing I was thinking as well was, I didn't realize how much of his engineering background sort of was transferable. I think the logical thinking and the problem-solving approach has been, even though it's a very different industry, has been quite transferable.
Yeah, that's really true. When he was kind of outlining it all, I was like, well, of course you went into consulting. It sounds like the perfect fit. And it's just being able to kind of present that really well and really succinctly, like he did.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking as well, he was talking about he's not good at storytelling. And I was thinking, actually, you've made the links between your past career and your new career very nicely. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's all for today's Modern MBA podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Marie. If you like this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts. You can get access to articles and more great content by visiting our website, themodernmba.co.uk, Facebook and LinkedIn under The Modern MBA, and on Twitter at MBA Modern.
Until next time, bye.
Bye.